Cool. Well, welcome, church. This is exciting stuff. It is such a privilege to be a part of a church that believes in missions. So this morning we're going to talk, just going to give you a quick overview of where Living Faith Fellowship is involved in mission work. One of the things about mission work that's really interesting, being a part of a global church, is this, is we can't do it all. Living Faith Fellowship can't do it all, and we don't want to. When you're connected to the global church, you're a part of a strategic work that God is doing all across the nations. And we are prayerfully, each area that I talk about this morning, we prayerfully look at these areas. We ask God, what are you doing and how can we be involved in what you're doing? And then God connects us into these partnerships. And these partnerships are not just like a one-time thing. They're things that we get involved with that as a result, there's ongoing ministry on the ground. And so that's extremely important to us as a local church. We want to make sure that our missions is launched out of local churches as well. And a part of the global church. We don't just want to do our own thing. So today I'm really excited to talk about what God is doing through this church and being connected to the global church across the world. So the very first area of influence that we have is Operation Christmas Child. We do that here for the last 2 years. Pullman Christian School has been working, doing the fundraiser and sending a bunch of stuff overseas. And so actually it's amazing. Our Operation Christmas Child is connected. We've paid that extra to find out where it goes. It's gone to three of the areas that we have partnerships in. Philippines, where are the other two, Catherine? Philippines, Ecuador, and, Haiti too. Haiti and Kosovo, so four. Wow, that's amazing. God's good. The next area of influence is in Haiti. We work with Armando and Cassie Jean-Louis out of Praying Pelican Missions. They're amazing. How many people here have gone to Haiti? Just give a little shout out. That's right. Anyways, it's a powerful time. But we work with them, our ongoing partnership. And then we also work with, in the last 2 years, we've worked with them, but we've also connected into an orphanage called El Bethel. And that is it's Pastor Luckner and his wife, Madalie. And that's them right there. And they're connected with Steve Holder's church, who is the president of the fellowship that we're a part of, that Pastor Phil is on the executive board with. And so we're all kind of connected. It's pretty fascinating to see that whole thing come together. We're also in Ecuador. Nancy Gregory started taking teams in Ecuador in 2003. As a result, we've got some powerful partnerships with Katia Aguirre. She works with One Heart Global Ministry. They're on the ground when the earthquake just hit recently. They were on the ground providing relief. And so this lady, she is passionate for ministry. She loves people, and she, more importantly, loves Jesus. And it's a privilege to be partnered with her. And also, we're partnered with Amy Carlson, who is also serving in Ecuador. She's an amazing lady. She is homegrown out of this house, and she's serving Jesus in a beautiful way in Ecuador. All right, next we've got Kosovo, Nathan and Miranda Troll. They took off a little over, just under 2 years ago, and they're ministering there. They really want to see people transformed in Jesus, and so they are Jesus followers. They're careful on using the term Christian, because in some of these countries, Christian is not a favorite term, so we have to be strategic, not dumbing things down by any means, but being a Jesus follower is very important. So they're doing a great work there in Kosovo. And then we're in Italy with Paolo and Catherine Tellini. They are also, they're homegrown as well. They were here way before I was here, and then they started a church in Italy, and now they're there. So we visited them twice, but they're doing a great work in Rome. Rome is it's a really tough place to it's a tough place to share the gospel, because a lot of times you're sharing the gospel with people who, they don't see that they need it. And so we could be praying for them. They have quite a work ahead of them. So we're also in Africa, in Uganda. Church, we sponsor a kid. His name is David Musiemi. We've been sponsoring him since he was 2 years old. He is now he's going to be turning 8 here very shortly. And so we've been taking care of him since he was 2, and it's a privilege to be a part. I want to make you guys aware of that. We believe in these kids, so that's through the Watoto ministry. How many of you guys are familiar with Watoto out of Uganda? They do the singing choir. So anyways, they came here one time, and as a result, we picked him up. He's great. We're also in Malawi, where our connection and partnerships there is through Isaiah and Olipa Chipeta. He's an amazing man of God, and he oversees many churches. We're also connected with an Elton and Lucy Mahongo. Elton Mahongo is a bishop of an entire northern region of Malawi within a Holy Cross Pentecostal church. So
But their heart is huge for people. They have many, many pastors overseeing many, many churches, and they have got some tough ministry that they also face. They're both here. We've brought them here to train them. But they deal with a lot of starvation, and right now we are focusing our efforts on water wells. And so you'll be hearing more about that, but that is Malawi water wells. And when you put water into an area, some of these people, no joke, they carry their water 2 hours a day. Women and children, not men. And so when women and children spend their time getting water, they lose time doing the other things like education and family development. And so when you provide water in a strategic location, you're literally giving somebody time. That's a powerful gift. You're giving them time. So our target is in September, launching 3 wells in strategic locations that we've already picked with them. And once we do that, they said, it's amazing. When you plant a well, people will get saved. I mean, come on. It just happens. Churches spring up, and you minister to the person's, really the whole being. Next, we've got Myanmar. We've been sponsoring a Bible translation in the Lanang language for the Nagas people group. And that's a powerful work. We've been a part of that for almost 10 years now. And they've translated many portions of Scripture. And so, you know, we'll look at doing like a scouting team there in the next few years to check up on that work. But they're doing an awesome work within the Nagas people. And we're a part of that, and it's a privilege. And then last, but definitely not least, we are in the Philippines. We're partnering with Balaika Hayag Church in the northern area of Cebu, and then also into an area called Gibitnil. And we're going to be sharing that trip report with you today. It was a powerful, powerful trip. So are you ready? All right. So anyways, this is what Living Faith Fellowship... Oh, back up just one more. Sorry, guys. This is what Living Faith Fellowship is involved with across the world. And like I said, we don't want to do it all, but this is what God has called us into, and it's a privilege to be a part of these works. Each one of these works has a lot of relationship involved on the ground. And so, and if you got questions on any one of these, I'm happy to field your questions. Nancy Gregory's happy to field your questions. Pastor Phil and Gary are happy to field your questions. We're here. We love missions. We love what God is doing globally. And so that's just overseas missions. We do a ton of local missions, but today we're just targeting overseas missions. All right. So we're going to jump into the Philippines. I'm going to give you a little background of this trip. So on November 8th of 2013, there's a typhoon that hit the Philippines. It's called a super typhoon, and it was one of the strongest typhoons ever recorded. It killed over 6,300 people, and it hit hard. When winds hit, it hits over 100 miles an hour, and so you can see that purple line right there is called the highway of the typhoon. The Filipinos call it Yolanda. We've heard it as high end. But when that storm went through, I mean, it blows over everything in its wake. And when structures start flying, it is a fearful thing to be in a storm of this nature. So that hit in 2013. We have Filipinos a part of this church, and when they talked about this storm hitting, they came up to us in desperation, and because our family members are in the Philippines. So we launched a prayer service. Out of that, birthed just God dropping onto us a scouting team to go to look to observe what has happened with these storms. And so out of Dana and Abby and Miko Delgado and their connections who are a part of this church, we then connected with some connections over there, and we launched the scouting trip in March of 2014. And so Jesse Weaver, Ellis Troll, myself and Abby Delgado went. We observed this northern area of Cebu, and we ended up partnering with just some phenomenal people. One of those partnerships, his name is Kuya Kaka. He's a man of God. He was a part of the which army was it, Jesse? The Communist Reformed Party. For those of you that know your history, the Philippines was under a lot of civil war, and because the main army was really putting some nasty oppression upon the people. So out of that birthed this army, and they were attacking then the Filipino army. He was one of the leaders of this army. So he's done things that he is not proud of, but God radically changed his life. He radically changed his life in prison, and he met Jesus. And so as a result, his whole life is just flipped inside out, and he just loves missions work to his own people. But he does relief work. So anytime that heavy stuff happens, disaster-type stuff happens, this guy is so well-trained. When we were with him on the ground 2 years ago, the smell even of the places that we went to, it just this human, you name it. It was still everywhere. The communities and people were still trying to rally together to try to, you know, take on how they're going to live. And Kuyakaka, he's just a man of God. He knows how to approach those situations sensitively, tactfully, with a level head. And so we connected with him. He took us over. One of the things about the church that we partner with, Balaika Hayek, they got hit. Just their whole building got wiped out. They have a grass thatched place that they sought refuge in, which is just a grass roof and a grass sides. And for why they went in there, we have no idea. But that's where they sought refuge from the storm. Not one thatch of that roof blew off when that storm hit. In fact, the Nisa, who just told her story while we were over there, she says, we commanded protection in the name of Jesus while the storm was happening. The kids were screaming all around us. And she said, in Jesus' name, I command a hedge of protection. And literally, the dad, Pastor Vera, he goes, they realized nothing was happening to the building. He said, stop. It was just a thing that the Holy Spirit was doing to him. He said, stop, you guys. Stop. Don't even grab onto the sides. He goes, look what God is doing. And they stopped. And they realized nothing was happening. Look outside. So they look outside. And they see the storm ravaging all around them. It was almost like as if a bubble had completely was just around them. Nothing could come through it. And so he, at that moment, was training his family of God's protection. So this is the people that we partnered with. Phenomenal people, but they saw right after the storms hit, all their structures and buildings is torn apart. But they see across the island, across the ocean, there's an island there, a very small, remote island. It's about a mile and a half long by a half a mile wide. That's not very big. And they saw the devastation that happened on that island, and they went, we have got to launch an outreach over there. Now, that sounds like the people of God, amen? Say amen. That's a people of God. We move where there's needy situations. They moved in. They launched an outreach. Kuyakaka, he said, can you please come over to this island with us and let's do a prayer walk. We went over there. We were blown away at what we saw. But we didn't really see our fit. We're just going, Lord, I don't really know. We don't know how we could help these people. Their solar panels, their structure's going up. We could do a construction team. And then all of a sudden, it was the kids. It's like he just goes, bam, I think a kid hit me or something. I went, huh. And then it's like the eyes were open, and I saw them everywhere on the island. There's over 2,000 kids on this island, mile and a half long, half a mile wide. That's a lot of kids running around. I went, man, we are good with kids. This ministry is good with kids. We love kids. Kuya, maybe there's an opportunity for us to come back in 2 years and do a kids ministry. And he goes, oh, that is God. And so anyways, 2 years later, this team came to be, and we launched a trip to the Philippines under Pastor Phil and Carrie's launch. So thank you, Jesus, and thank you, church. So we're going to talk about that trip right here. I want to say a couple more things, and that is this. This is the going side, the 10 of us. We're missing Sam Harris, Bettina Gonzalez, and Emily Gross. And so Emily and Bettina are still in the Philippines because Bettina is Filipino, so they're still over there. And then Sam is off to Ethiopia because he just loves missions so much, he had to go do another trip. But anyways, this is the going side of the team. This is the sending side of the team. And it is one team. And we so appreciate the sending side of this team. We've got many stories. There's many tears. There's much abuse that's happening in the Philippines with the children. And so for all of us that are on the going side, we are part of those. We saw God do amazing things. But this is the sending side. And so we really appreciate the support. We appreciate that you sent us, and so now we're going to tell the story for you guys, and so thank you very much. All right, and you guys did a sending prophetic service as well on a Wednesday night, and those words were powerful. They were, again, a guide for us on the ground. We would read over them. God would speak directly on things that we would be doing that day based on the words that were given for us as a team. Talk about amazing. That is so fun to operate with God in such a way. Those prophetic words really were just powerful channels that God used to minister to the team. So, okay, we're gonna launch right into it. One of the things that we started off is we started off in Gabitnil Island, and that's that really remote island. We launched a VBS approach, Vacation Bible School, and so that was our target. Let's target the kids. We'll do a VBS, and so Kayla Monson's gonna share on what that was like.
Hi, everybody. So, what we're talking about, we had VBS in two locations, on Gibbet Neal Island and then on the mainland. And so on the island, we had about 60 kids. We were prepared for 150, but God knew what he was doing because we were a bit of a hot mess for the first 15 minutes of each day. So having 60 just to kind of start off for the first round of VBS was really great. And kind of the theme for VBS in both locations was kids transformation, and doing that just through explaining Father's love, the concept of Father's love to them, and how much God loves each and every one of them. And it was just amazing to see how the kids just opened up to that. Like the first day they were all pretty shy, pretty closed off, but like the second day came around and they're like laughing and climbing all over us and just loving on us. And it was amazing to see the walls of insecurity and just not being very trusting of us just really just fall down within 2 days. And then to see through loving on the kids, being able to connect with their families and loving on their families. And sometimes I would meet parents and then I would meet their kids at the end of VBS, like, oh, these are your kids. Like, it makes so much sense now. And just making those connections was just amazing. And then too, just connecting with our BK team, so Belaika Haig, our team of translators. It was just kind of like what CJ's described it, was seamless. Like we were going into it, I think a lot of us had a lot of fears and kind of unspoken insecurities. Like we kind of expected going in that we would have a team of translators, like some like adults working with adults as we're doing this, but we get there and our team is like 19, 20, 21 year olds. We're like, wow, this is awesome. And it was just like instant connection. Like we all became really close and we were able just to share our testimonies with each other and really make some deep connections and just work with them on stepping out in leadership so that they can continue the work after we left. And so it was just really amazing. They're amazing, amazing team. We're really blessed to be able to work with them. And then, talking just one of the most, I guess, impactful moments for me on the island was when we were doing a prayer walk. We were walking through just the different towns and whatnot. And from a distance, I could see, it was day two of VBS. I saw one of my girls and I recognized her from behind. And up until that point, like, she was very shy. We really hadn't connected. And I had started connecting with the other kids. So it was just kind of awkward, but she had her back to us and I saw her and I said, Stephanie. And she turned around and she had the biggest smile I've ever seen from this little girl. Like she just lit up. And then she ran over to me and she stretched out her hand and I took it. I thought she was just gonna like walk with us through the village. And she took my hand and she touched the back of it to her forehead. And in this culture, that is a sign of respect. And that totally just rocked me to my very core. Took everything I had not to keep from crying as we're doing the rest of this prayer walk, because this little girl I had met 2 days ago had known me for maybe 6 hours at most, yet there was something that she saw in me that she respected. It was just, it was amazing. Just couldn't believe it, really. Just watching God step into each one of those kids and just change them. From the first day, we did VBS for 3 days on the island, and from the first day to the last day, it was just complete 360. So it was amazing. I'm homesick for it now. I want to go back so bad. So just keep praying for that. But yeah, it was amazing. I could just go on and on. But I'm gonna pass it over to Casey, who's gonna talk about the kids some more and worship. So.
Hi. So I'm going to talk a little bit about connection with the kids as well. I had an amazing group of kids that were just so close to me, and I got so connected with them. And it was really cool to see the first day of VBS on the island. All the kids were very shy, nervous, like, who are these Americans, you know? And it was really cool to see like the barrier between us just break down. Carl was throwing kids in the air and CJ was doing like trust falls and stuff like that. And it was really cool to see them starting to loosen up and be comfortable around us and letting us snuggle with them and hug them and give them love. And it was really cool because we were there to love them and care for them, but at the same time, they were loving us and caring for us too. And that really touched my heart. And after graduation, I was just observing my kids.
Yes, it's a VBS graduation. So we would do at the end of VBS, and we would have a graduation service for the kids.
And I was just observing them. They were eating their meal. We fed them spaghetti and like fried chicken or something. And I was just watching them. I was observing them. And I just started bawling my eyes out because I knew that I wasn't going to be there to care for them or love them anymore. I know that God is still continuing to move throughout those children there. And we definitely made our mark there with them. And I just hope that next time we go back that they all come back into VBS and we will reconnect again. And it was really cool also to see the BKI interacting with those kids because some of them are from the island and they knew some of the kids there. And it was really cool because they got to see the BKI team working with us and kind of like, oh, it's the barrier between that kind of went down. So I'm going to talk a little bit about worship. It was really cool to see, because I was really nervous for worship. I was afraid that the kids weren't going to like respond or do anything, but they did. We did a lot of the songs we do here at CCF, like Deep Cries Out and Running, and they had a blast with it. It was really fun to see Sam Harris and his group running across the stage, and he falls and trip, and they all fall with him. And I'm on stage, and I just start laughing, and I couldn't even sing anymore because it was a domino effect, and it was hilarious. But it was really awesome to see the kids responding and dancing and praising Jesus. And we taught them songs, and they taught us some of the songs that they knew, which was really cool. And to have the BKI team involved with worship as well, kind of supporting each other and growing together through that. It was really cool to see all that happening with the VBS and with the kids.
One of the cool things about the VBS as well is that we fed the kids. So we fed them a snack in the morning time. It's not a normal snack, like a granola bar we get here or some goldfish. There, it's like a full meal. And so we would feed the kids a snack, and they would eat it as if it was the only meal they had ever had. And then once they ate that meal, they would perform really well. I mean, obviously, when you feed them, then they've got nourishment and they can focus. So we fed them every single day. We'd feed them a snack. And then at the very end, we fed them dinner with their family. And so that dinner was spaghetti with a leg of chicken. And Kuya Kaka says, wow, that is so much food. They're not going to know what to do with it. And I'm like, wow, that is so challenging to the way that I eat. So anyways, yeah, good job, Casey. Here's a video.
Yeah, so the trip was a lot of fun. We had VBS in the morning. We'd do it from about 9 to 12. And then Philippines are great. They kind of take a break in the afternoon because it gets so hot. So we'd take a nap or do something, go swimming one of the days. But then we would go do a prayer walk. There was two villages on the island. One, the compound that the church had was right in the middle, which was cool for community. But we would just go walk into the communities because honestly there was a little bit of mistrust just because they're like, hey, who are these people from America that we're sending our kids to? So it was awesome for us to be able to go into the community and just walk around, say hello, try to speak their language, which I always thought was pretty funny because we totally messed it up all the time. But it just was to build trust with the community and say, hey, we are coming to you to invite your kids to come hang out with us. And it was also a great way to connect with like the BK team because, of course, they had to come with us so we could talk to people. And they were watching us. They were seeing how we were interacting. It was a great way to bond with our translators and everything. And it was crazy. One time I just started playing basketball with like five or six kids. And the next thing I know, I look up and it seems like half the town is there just watching. And I was like, okay, I know I was entertaining because I definitely was not good at it. their basketball hoop was a board with rebar stuck to it in a circle. And so I missed probably every single shot I took. So it was entertaining, but it was just cool just to see, like, we were always being watched. Like, they were just seeing. And this team was amazing because the parents trusted us. Like, the kids was a way to get into the community. Like, that was the bridge. Like, once, if the kids accepted us, then the parents accepted us. And so we all did a great job just playing with the kids, and God just used that to build a connection with the community. And so not just the kids were touched, but the parents were touched as well. And then we also had built the playground. And
you know, one of the things that's really interesting is Pastor Phil, because he's so reserved, he really kind of mentors within us to be really reserved in these communities. So we just kind of go there and we just sit and we just wait for people to come to us. What I love about Pastor Phil's leadership style is that transfers. And the way it transfers globally is really neat, because we just go into these communities and we're crazy. Not crazy to where we're obnoxious, but crazy just enough to where people go, wow, you guys are crazy. But that craziness God uses to really bring down the barriers. And people laugh, and he's different. And people laugh at that difference, and we do too. But it's really cool. And so, you know, anyway, I just wanted to say thank you, you know, for your leadership style, Pastor Phil, because that it does transfer. And because you are so fun, yet so serious and relatable, the way that transfers into another culture, it breaks down all the barriers, and it allows you to them to see Christ in a very fun yet deep way.
And so that's what we did, and we just made great connections and everything. And then we had a playground. They were building a playground, which was great because it was right in the middle. And so the kids could come from either side of the island and play, and it was just a meeting area. And so CJ is going to kind of speak on the playground and how that worked.
Launch a video here.
So here's the playground structures. Basketball hoop. They have part of their carpenters and some of their construction leads. One guy's a welder, so he welded everything. We have a teeter-totter right there. Monkey bars there. They're going to do a volleyball pit right in there. And then this is just a big play structure. You have two different platforms on each side. There's a little rope climb there, and then they're going to do a rope bridge in between those two platforms. So all the Black Kahayag construction team built this. And then back in there is a swing set. So we've been sanding, bringing sand up from the bottom, hiking it up, and then pouring it into here. And what they do is they jackhammer all this rock. It's volcanic rock. And so they jackhammer it, or take big sledgehammers and start to break apart this kind of rock in order to get it level. So the guys run a generator, and he had a big old jackhammer, and he just does a little section at a time. It's truly amazing. So, and remember, this isn't just for kids. It's for adults too, because adults don't have a lot to do. So they built these structures very robust in order to allow for the adults to play as well. So very, very fun. Very cool.
The thing about this that is fascinating is community transformation is hard work. When you're working in an island like this, it is tough and it is messy. Relationally, it's messy, but it's just really, that's the ground. It's just made out of this coral, and it is tough. And their heart, their approach and transformation was they really want to see the community transform. There's so much abuse on the island because the houses are one-room houses, and the dads spend the time gambling. So the men in this culture oftentimes are very, very, very passive. And so they'll play bingo. They'll make whatever money they get, and they'll spend it on booze. And they come home, and then they have a one-room house. And so there's all kinds of abuse situations that happen as a result of that. So transformation, moving into that. Hold just a minute on these pictures. So transformation that happens as a result of that is that you've got to come in and meet the society where they're at. So they thought a great approach would be to, if we put a playground up, that would allow the children an alternative than to be home. And it'll also give parents something to do. So they didn't, and what I love their vision is that they didn't just want to do one structure, they wanted to do many structures. And what they told me, they said, our God is an awesome God, so we want to do everything with excellence. Really, the kindred spirit between this church and Black Kahayag is, it was seamless. And so that's one of the things that we worked on, is that playground. And even after we got it done, to watch Kuya Kaka playing with all these kids, and even after we completed, they were working on it, the dads of the community were coming together, preparing ground for expansion of other playground structures. And Kuya's just looking at that, his eyes just marveling, going, look at this. He goes, this is a part of what God is doing in transformations. For us, it was just a privilege to be a part. The other thing that we worked on is a solar install. We did, with the Mission Tech team here, we designed some LED lighting. And so we took some solar panels and we installed it into the playground, that structure area. We installed it there so that at nighttime, they now have lights on the playground structures. And so that was really cool. And we'll launch a video on that.
All right, here's the crew. So you got to say your name.
Robert.
Landon. Rinanti.
So these are the guys who worked on the install. So just so you guys know back home. And everything's running. Throw the switch, Renati. There you go. Bam.
There we go. Beautiful. So you've heard about the Island VBS and all the work we did there. And so in between the Island VBS and when we went back to the mainland to do our other VBS, we were able to go to church with them and experience what their church service was like. And actually, CJ preached. Casey was helping lead worship for the first time. She did amazing. It was great. CJ preached an amazing message at that church service about God's story and how we all fit into his story. And he took us through the Bible and showed us the story of God. And after that, they were, you know, the Holy Spirit was just moving. And so we were able to go out with them and pray for people. And I know probably every single person on the team has a story from that time of how we were praying for people. And there wasn't always a translator there. Sometimes there was. But the Spirit was moving and he was speaking to them regardless of if they understood our words or not. So we were praying for people and their stories of broken relationships being healed. People were breaking down in tears and they were encouraged and sent out. It was just an amazing time to see the body of Christ come together in a church service in the Philippines. It was beautiful. Another really cool aspect of this trip, you've heard how there's a kindred spirit between the teams, between our churches. And I'm so thankful for this, for the spirit of service that has been given to us in this church. Honestly, every single one of us who's been here and has served and has taken hold of that spirit that our pastors have laid out for us and really run with that, you're prepared to go anywhere in the world. You really are. And you can go. And that's a big question. You know, can I go? Am I ready to go? You guys are ready to go because of the spirit of servant leadership that has been given to us and modeled for us. It's an amazing thing. And over there, it's the same with this church. It's the exact same thing. They, everywhere you look, their leaders are serving the people they're discipling. They're serving the people they're reaching out to. It's everywhere you look. One of the things we've heard and we kind of say in missions a lot is we want to go in at the foot level and serve at the foot level. We don't want to come in above. And it actually was pretty literal on this trip. There was a lot of foot level service. This picture is Carl, and that's Kuya Kaka. Carl had a toenail that was a little funky. I don't know how else to describe it. It was kind of built up, yellowish, and we were wearing sandals a lot, so we realized it. Like, usually we're wearing shoes, so we don't see it. We wear sandals, like, oh man, toenails are pretty bad. So we were kind of working on them, and we saw Carl's, and I was like, I'm not touching that. I'm walking away from that. And then Kuya Kaka, he's like, dude, give me those nails or those clippers. And he sat down and just grabbed Carl's foot and was working on them. And Carl's feet have never looked better. So it's kind of a funny thing, but it really speaks to his heart. And there was many different stories. Kuya Kaka specifically, you heard, he was in the Communist Party. And one of the things he said was he joined that party to serve the people. And he joined that party to change society. It was just out of hatred instead of love. And when he became a Christian, he said, I want to serve the people out of love now. And he said, his motto is, I want to fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment at the same time. Love people, love God, and love people with all of his heart, and make disciples. And that's really what he models and modeled for us. Another really cool story of service that I just noticed, it was a small, seemed like a small thing, but Evelyn, you've heard how we fed the kids every day. And Evelyn on the right here, she had a whole team, but she was in charge of cooking the food. And she was on her feet all day. She was cooking. After the Sunday service, they had a full lunch for everybody that came to church, 200 plus people, or more than that even. So Evelyn, she's working the whole time, and her mentor or discipler is Nisa, who's one of the leaders at the church. And after one of these long days, I saw Nisa sitting down with Evelyn. Evelyn was reclining, and Nisa was just giving her a pedicure, just working on her feet. And it seems like such a small thing, but I saw that, and it was amazing to me. It just speaks to the spirit of servant leadership they have and the kindred spirit there is, which is really cool. I'm going to transfer it back to Carl to talk about some fun stuff.
Yeah, so he was probably the first person ever to touch my toes, and so that was pretty amazing. They are awesome servants. Definitely just really convicted me in saying I can definitely serve more. But after church on Sunday, we went into the community again, and we went to this like kind of open-air sports court. It had a volleyball and basketball. We got to play with some people there, and there were some people in the community that we were told are kind of outcasts that we got to play with, which was pretty awesome just to show them God's love. But my favorite memory actually came from that day because CJ and I were playing Frisbee inside, and some kids, about eight kids, were watching us play, and we like had this pretty big area, and we got up on top on the bleachers and we're throwing it across back and forth, and the kids were kind of impressed by that. And then CJ decides to stand up on this like platform even higher, and I had to throw it to him perfectly in order for him to catch it. And I throw it and it's just 2 inches too high. It was like almost the best throw I've ever had. But he reaches up for it and he hits it. And as he hits the Frisbee, it causes it to turn, and there was some slats in the wall for the air to come through. And it goes through the wall and then somehow curves back and landed on the outside, but against the wall on a lower roof. And I look at him like, how the heck did that get there? There is no way that should have, like, physics doesn't work that way. And we're like, great, our fun's over. It's done. I lost the Frisbee. I need 2 inches. Was just too much. And then these kids just start yelling, and we look, and they have the Frisbee because they were able to, like, get their hands through these small holes and work its way up and get it out. And then we're just like, hey, you know what? We should teach them how to play Frisbee. They're liking it. And so CJ and I went outside, and we taught these eight kids how to play Frisbee, and they're 8 and 9-year-olds, and they were so good at Frisbee. I mean, one of my kids, untaught, takes it, throws it behind the back for a score. He's 8 years old. I was like, wow, you guys could win the Olympics today. But, it was a great time. We had so much fun with them. The kids loved it. They knew English, so we talked to them about Jesus, and we were able to give them the Frisbee and everything and just really encourage them. And as I'm writing the story out in my journal, I'm like, there is no way that Frisbee should have landed where it landed. Like, it was totally God. Like, David and Goliath just throw it, and it landed where it was to get it and everything. And that's really what I took back from this whole entire trip, was that I got back home, and usually after a mission trip, I'm like, wow, that was awesome, it was amazing. And I just kind of came back, and I was just like, I was very content, but I was also very humbled. I was like, I don't feel like I did anything, because God did everything. At church, this one person was standing up and wanted prayer, and I had no translator, so I was like, well, I have no idea what to pray. So I was like, Holy Spirit, fill her up. And just immediately she started crying, and I was like, that was effective. I didn't need to say anything. But that was like what happened for all of us, I think. We just went, you know what? We didn't do a whole lot. We were just there, and God did the rest. And it was so cool. And so, I mean, that's just, you can easily bring that back here today. Like, you just have to be willing to do something, and God will do the rest. It doesn't matter where you're at in the world, because God's always there. And so that's an encouragement to all of you from what we really took home, is that we just do a little bit, and, you know, God does the rest. And so now up next is Ellie to talk about the Mainland VBS.
Video.
We'll take all these kids, and they're all going to go in this bus and to go back home. But we're just waiting for a few things. Here we go. Time to load up. And this is the way it's done in the Philippines. I love it. See, like right now, you'd think they're totally full. But they're not. Oh no, not at all. Look at this. That right there is enough to fill the whole thing, but no, we can't just keep going. That's right. Just keep going. This is a miracle right here. You guys are about ready to witness a miracle. I mean, come on. That's intense. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Watch this.
We're almost there.
Watch this little boy's hand.
Take another 50.
Just push. Yeah, push him in there. Just get him in there.
Yeah.
This guy shoves him. Come on. Get in there.
Oh, yeah. Guys. There we go. Okay. Precious cargo. Bye, guys.
So as you can see, there are a lot of kids. We expected around like 150 for the mainland VBS, but ended up getting around 200. And honestly, I think we knew there was going to be a lot of kids, but I don't think we were mentally prepared for like what was going to happen when they all came. But we thought we were prepared. But we really weren't. But it was still amazing, like everything that happened and how it all worked together and just awesome. So on the third day of VBS, we didn't have anything planned to do. So we ended up letting the BK team lead. And they did an amazing job at doing what God wanted them to do. We had Peachy preach. She was one of the pastor's daughters, and she preached on forgiveness, I think it was. And it was just an awesome time of just ministering for the teams, for our team and the BK team and the kids. Like, we had us go get into a circle, the BK team and the US team, and hold hands. And the kids started praying for us, and so was Peachy. And then there was a moment where Peachy had all the kids come and hug us. And honestly, it felt like it was like God hugging us. And I just started bawling. And I'm sure a lot of everyone else was bawling too. It was just an amazing thing to feel, just the Father's love through these children. And for me personally, I felt like I had to ask God for forgiveness, because I didn't feel like I let myself be used the way he wanted me to on the island for the VBS. Because I was letting my own insecurities and my own doubts get in the way. And so I didn't feel like I actually connected with the kids and was able to love them the way I was able to love the kids on the mainland, because I finally just let all that go and just let God use me. And so that was awesome. And on the last day for VBS, we did foot washing. And that was honestly a very humbling experience, and just getting the U.S. team got to wash the feet of our translators first. And then after we washed their feet, the translators helped us wash our kids' feet. And that was just awesome. I know the kids enjoyed it very much, getting their feet washed. But that was really fun. And then for the award ceremony or the graduation, we did something different. Instead of having the kids go home, we had them stay and just fed them some lunch. And so we had a lot of the kids there, and a lot of the parents ended up showing up, and it was just an amazing time of getting to give the kids awards and just recognizing them for the characteristics that they have that are from God, and it was just really awesome. And now we have another video, I'm guessing.
So you can tell there's two different VBSs. I don't know if that was clear, but we did one VBS on the Gibbet Nail, the other VBS back on the northern part of Cebu. So those are the two worship services of I'm a Friend of God. The one looked a little different than that one. So.
Yes. So I get the opportunity to talk about the island prayer walks. It was a really cool experience to go not mainland prayer walks. Anyways, it was really cool to go out into the community where our kids were, and on the island, I kind of have a similar story as Ellie. I didn't get to relate as much to the kids as I had hoped because of my own insecurities, and we got the opportunity to go to one of the poorest regions known as Beverly Hills, and we got to go into the community and pray for their families, and I got to see kids that were in my group, and I'd always struggled with connecting with kids and just feeling like they accept me and that they can sort of just, I don't know, I have a break there. And the kids in my group would come up to me and they would run up to me and hug me, and I just felt like a deep connection with them that I'd never experienced anywhere. And so to get that opportunity to go into the community and pray for their families and to just get a connection with the kids that I'd never experienced before, and it was just truly impactful, and my life has truly been changed because I went on the trip not having like this fear of kids and kind of wondering why I'm going to on a trip that's main focus is VBS. But God moved a lot and he opened my eyes and he just kind of led me, because the first day of VBS I was kind of like, I was lost. I was like, there's so many kids, I don't know what to do. Panic. But God really gave me peace, and he kind of just did it all for me because I wouldn't have been able to do it by myself. And it was just, the whole trip was just truly impactful. And then I have a little story. After the trip, I got to really bond with one of the girls, Clydell. We were messaging on Facebook and talking about struggles that we have, and we realized that we have a common struggle. We both hate spotlight, and we don't like leadership. So it was really cool to be able to share that with her and to realize that we're both going through the same thing, and that how we're both growing through it, and how I've turned to God and how I've grown, and she can see the growth. And she couldn't believe me when I told her. And so that makes me feel like I've really turned to God and God really answered my prayers. But she mentioned something about sisterhood that I've never really thought about, that it doesn't matter how far away someone is or what race they are, what time it is there, whatever, anything, God has a family there. And I got to experience that firsthand, and I got to experience that sisterhood that I didn't even realize was there. And God just really opened my eyes to his family and how strong and how there are no boundaries to it. So, yeah.
I think Devin had the biggest group out of all of us, actually, which is kind of funny with the kids. But one of the big questions we always ask when we go on short-term missions is, how is this sustainable? What's the long-term vision with the people on the ground and our connections there? Because we're only there for a short time, so we can't continue the ministry. What was really cool about this one is the church there, when they saw the VBS on the mainland, God spoke to one of the leaders and said, this is how it can continue. And they're going to actually do another VBS and have a kids service every Saturday based out of the VBS we did with them. So God was moving in an amazing way to really spark a long-term ministry to these kids, even though we aren't there. And, you know, we'll go back for sure, but God's continuing to move. And they had all the kids register, write their names down, where they live, and they're going to follow up with all of them, which is incredible. So it was beautiful.
All right, I'm going to share real fast from Bettina and Emily. Emily, they're both in the Philippines, but this is what Emily says. The mission trip, she's a very, she's a quiet gal, and this is what she said. The mission trip to Cebu has had a profound impact on me. I didn't know that just being me could make such a difference to the people we interacted with. Somehow, I had made the connections with many people, and whatever love that I had given, they had shared back with me tenfold. A major thing that impacted me was that some of the VBS students actually learned something from me. I don't know how to do ministry, yet one of my students on the free day told me that she often thinks about what I said about not being afraid because Jesus cares for her. Another student washed my feet and prayed over me like I had done for her during VBS. Through God, I was able to accomplish much more for him, more than I could imagine, and he's not even done yet. thought that is a beautiful testimony from a girl who's really quiet. And then here's another one from Bettina. No words can actually express how much the mission trip to in Cebu has impacted me, or rather the whole team. Meeting the Balaika Hayek team and just loving on the kids was definitely the best part of the trip. Seeing them smile was worth every bug bite, sunburn, heat rash, random bruise, and sweat. Lots of sweat. The kids taught me how to serve, love deeper, be a better ate, which is bigger sister, and appreciate God more. Good things do come in small packages, literally. It was a very humbling experience filled with laughter, tears, and I honestly did not expect that I could be strangers with a group of people one day and see them as family the next. We made memories and friendships that would last a lifetime, and I hope to go back soon. That's Bettina. So we did find an amazing people in the Philippines, church. It really was. And this is just a small fraction of the stories. And we've shared a long time today, and I apologize for that. But there's so much to the story. And so we thank you so much for sending us. It's a privilege to be a part of this and what God is doing. There's a trip going in July to Ecuador. We're launching another team. It's a medical-focused team. Nancy's going to be heading that up. They're in need of children's supplies. So if you have any children's supplies at home that's just vacating drawers or you just want to get rid of, please, there's a spot. So we'll start putting bins in the back of the church, and you can start bringing children's supplies. It will be very helpful for Ecuador. So school supplies, yes, and preferably not used, like a half of a crayon, not cool. So preferably a whole box of crayons would be great, right, Nancy? Yes, I heard an affirming yes. Thank you, Catherine. Yeah, she's a detail gal. One of the things that we're doing today is we're remembering what God is doing globally. And a part of that remembrance is we also get to take communion today. We're going to remember what God has done in our lives, what he's done for us. He's an amazing God. This is the Lord's table. So to partake of communion, it's important that you are a Jesus follower. Otherwise, why do this? We don't want to do this just because it's a tradition. We do it because there's life in it, and that's what sacraments are for. They're life-giving. And so we want to, as we take communion today, I encourage you right here in your seat where you're sitting, just ask the Lord, thank him for what he's done in your life. Thank him for being a part of what he's doing. And then come up, and as the elements are displayed on the tables, you can partake on your own. And so just give God some glory today for what he's doing in our lives, what he's doing globally. Let's thank him. And as we leave this place, remember this, he's also doing a great work in and through you as well. And so be asking him, Lord, what can I do for you today? How can I bless you? How can I make your name more famous with my life? What story do you want to unfold and display into the world around me that gives you all the glory? And so, church, thank you so much for letting us come and share a report of what God is doing. Thank you for being a part. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for being Jesus followers. Love you. And if there's any prayer that you need, there'll be a team after communion that will come and they'll pray for you as well. So please come up when you're ready and grab the elements.